is that you would show them that you're good even in these difficult times. Please. Thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. Hey, we are so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. If you are new, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, and we are so thankful for everyone who is at South County. Thank you for being there. But hey, listen, we got to give a big shout out to Lincoln today, because here's what's happened. In Lincoln, they blew a transformer at the hotel where we are. So you know what our point leader does? He gets his phone, turns it into a hotspot, and in Lincoln, everybody is around his computer. So, great job, guys. That's an army guy for you, right? He's innovative. So we're thankful for them up there. Well, we are in this teaching series called You Matter. And I was reminded of how important this is this week. Just this week, I'm sitting on the couch with Zoe. We're watching for the second time a series that, oh my gosh, I just can't get enough of. And as we're watching this series, there's this couple that have fallen in love with each other. The series isn't even about this couple, but this couple has fallen in love with each other. And this lady is telling this guy that we've got to go get married. And do you know what? He looks over at her and he says, "Beth, I don't even exist on paper." And I was like, oh my gosh. And I can't give you all the backstory, but it's true. He doesn't exist on paper. But there's no record. And it reminded me of how many people feel like that. That they don't even exist. That no one would even know. If they disappear tomorrow, no one would even know. And that's why we're going through this series. That's why we've been in this series for several weeks now. To remind you that you matter, and don't try and find your value in your career. Don't try and find your value in your education. Don't try and find your value in what you can accumulate. That we find our value when God looks down from heaven and He says, "You're valuable. You're valuable to Him." That's where we find our value. And we've been challenging you to live like this, to actually live from a posture, to have a lifestyle of living like other people matter. And we've challenged you with those You Matter cards, right, to hand those out. And we showed you Isaac's story. You remember the Isaac story when we kicked this off? And little Isaac, he's telling his barber matters. Well, you know, Isaac is on fire right now. He is tearing it up. He's at his school. He's handing them out to all his school buddies. He's handing them out to his school teachers. He's handing them out to the school lunch ladies. I mean, this guy is handing out to, and he was like, I think he calls me Mr. Rick. I forget what he calls me. Whatever he calls me, he's like, hey Mr. Rick, you know how many You Matter cards I gave out this week? 10. I gave out 10 You Matter cards. Isn't that, I mean, the guy's on fire, right? But it's not just for kids. Adults can get in the game too. You can do this, right? We can do this. And I want you to hear from one of our partners who is doing this, is living like this. So take a listen to their story.
So Thursdays are generally my day off, and I had some time before an appointment to do a citizenship class, and so I ran over to this little strip mall to go into a store. And as going in, I see a woman who visibly was living in her car, but I was in a hurry, of course, with my agenda, and the store was closed, and so God laid it on my heart that I had to stop and speak to this woman. So I quickly grabbed a hot coffee for her and a muffin, and I approached her car, and she rolled down the window, and I said, "Hey, my name is Suzanne, and God laid you on my heart to come and say hello to her." And it was a perfect opportunity to deliver a You Matter card to her. And she rolled down the window. Her name was Elise, and we started chatting. And I was just sharing to her that, you know, she really mattered to me, but more importantly, she mattered to God. And we started to have a nice conversation about God. And, you know, I could see that no one had really loved on her for a long time. And she was really amazed to know how big God was. She didn't realize how God was such a big God. So we really had a lovely conversation. I was able to direct her to a church, which was Quonset Baptist, which was right around the corner. I invited her to go and just go over to that church and go in and just seek comfort there, as opposed to just sitting there and living in her car. So we just really had lovely fellowship, gave her the coffee. The coffee was just a segue just to have that conversation, deliver that gospel to her conversation, and just love on her. So we finished up. I went on to my appointment, and I remembered that that morning my devotion was to not plan out every moment of your day and just have time for God to work. And I just was like so amazed how God works. Went to my appointment, finished up, went back to go to the store because I had time before my next appointment. And as I'm pulling into that same shopping center, lo and behold, there's another woman sitting on a curb who was visibly a homeless woman. But of course, I had the agenda of trying to get into that same store that had been closed earlier. Ran in, got my appointment done, and I came out, and God said, you know, there's time before you get to your next appointment. And I said, of course, God, I'm on your time. So I run and get another coffee and a muffin as another segue, and I pull up to this woman, and she was visibly closed and guarding herself, and I just gently approached her, and she really didn't want no coffee or anything, and I said, you know, my name is Suzanne. I said, God laid you on my heart, you know. And she said, I don't want no coffee. And I said, well, what do you need? Her name was Nancy. And she said, well, I really just need a place to stay. And it was really a windy day on Thursday. And I said, well, you know, I have people that are connected with the shelters in Providence. Can I please find you a room? And she was adamant about not going to the shelters. She wanted to go Motel 6 in Jefferson Boulevard. So proceeded to make a call, and they had rooms for rent available, and they had a rate that she could afford with some of my assistance. And so got her in the car, and we're driving up to Jefferson Boulevard, and I tell her how much she matters to me, and more importantly to God. And we're talking about God and Jesus and delivering a gospel to her gently, and also talking about who she is. And she's got a daughter, and she gets to share with me about who she is. And we get to the motel, and they tell us it's a much higher rate. Get to start talking to the woman at the desk and how important she is to me and she is to God. And miraculously, they have a rate lower than they quoted us on the phone. And so we just praise God for her. And Nancy gets a rate that we can both afford, and she gets a place to lay her head for the night. And we are just so thankful to God that He made more time in my schedule that I could abide by and just show the love of God by You Matter cards.
See, that's what it's all about. And we can live like that. You and I, we can live from a lifestyle where other people matter. And we would love to hear your story. And listen, I know for some of you this is so new, and it's like so out of your comfort zone. So your story may take 10 or 12 seconds, and that's okay. But we are going to provide that opportunity. You need to come to our annual vision celebration on that Sunday night at 6 p.m. On that night, we're going to block out some time for just open mic. So open mic means you come and share your short story. And if it's like, I handed one out, and I told them they matter. You know, we are going to applaud you. We're going to cheer you on. We're going to be like, you rocked it. All right. All right. So come that night. So again, June 5th at 6 p.m., and we're going to block out time for you to share your story. We can't wait. Today, here's what we're going to see in the scriptures. It's all about this demonstration, not just proclamation. It's proof of a You Matter lifestyle. I hope that you'll let that sink in for a second. It's about demonstration, not just proclamation. And that's proof of a You Matter lifestyle. So let's take our Bibles, let's take our scriptures, and let's go into 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, John is trying to realign the church. He's trying to get them back. He's trying to block out false teaching. And as he's doing this, he's reminding them of what is at the heart, or what should be at the heart of every Christ follower. And it should be this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to see four things. Or three things. We're going to see three things here. That love, John's going to show us that love is proclaimed. And it starts with God. He's going to show us that love is practiced. It's actually a way of life. It starts with God. And he's going to show us that love is proof. Love is actually proof that God exists. And all of this is for the benefit of others. Because others matter. And that's why we should live from a you matter lifestyle and posture in life. So first, let's just look at this idea of love is proclaimed. So in verse number 7, he says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love." Right? Because don't forget, these are already Christ followers. These are people, this is churches. This is a letter to churches spread throughout Asia. And he's saying, hey, we need to get back on track. You need to continue to love one another. And then he says, hey, this love thing isn't your idea. It comes from God. The originator of love, it comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Do you remember when you were in science class in school, right? And they showed you a picture of an atom, right? And as they, you know, explained what an atom was and the electrons, but then at the core of it is the nucleus. It's made up of the protons and neutrons, right? And that's what the nucleus is all made up of. Well, here's what I want to submit as an idea to you, that if we were able to put God under a microscope, that it might look like this, that at the core, the nucleus of who God is love. That's what makes him up. That every decision that God makes, every move that God makes, comes from a bias. If God could have a bias, his bias would be love. Because that's who he is. And John pounds this idea out time and time again, that God is love, that God is love. And he says it here in this chapter, and he said it in his Gospels, but the idea, he wants us to understand that the very essence and nature of God is love. So the next time, whether it's good or bad, you can remember, but God is love. So this is happening, and somehow God, the core of who God is, the very essence of who he is, God is love. And it's not the kind of love that you and I typically think of. It's this agape love. It's this unconditional, sacrificial, no strings attached type of love. It's the type of love that is choosing to love in spite of your response. It's the type of love of choosing to love in spite of the what they had said to you, which is hard. It's choosing to love in spite of how many times you told them to put their socks in their drawer and not on the floor, right? I mean, this is choosing to love in spite of. That's this kind of love. And that's who God is. This is the love that is proclaimed. And then he takes us into this idea that love is actually practiced. And it started with God. In verse number 9, God showed, or he demonstrated, how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. There was a point, I mean, just picture this in your mind. There was a point in history where God just said, hey, Jesus, now's the time. Jesus, now's the time. You're going to leave heaven and you're going to make your way to earth. And you're going to demonstrate love. You're going to show love for 33 and a half or so years. History tells us that Jesus lived on earth for about 33 and a half years. And as Jesus lived here on earth, he demonstrated love. He showed what love looked like. Look who he hung out with. He hung out with all the people that, you know, others would look down upon. The outcasts, if you will. He demonstrated. God showed this love. Why? So that we could be brought in to this love. He says, this is real love. It's not that we love God. That's easy to love God because look how much he's loved you, right? What's hard to do is love somebody that hasn't demonstrated love to you. But God has demonstrated. He says, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is love that Jesus would actually atone for our sins. For every time we rejected Him, God is forgiven. This is love. For every time that we have rebelled, that we have chose sin. Come on, Christ followers, you know that you and I have chosen sin many times in our life. We chose to make that decision. We chose to go there. We chose to, you know, and you fill in the blank. We chose that, and in spite of that, God still loves us. That's the kind of love that God loves us with. I wonder, have you received this kind of, this sacrificial love? Have you actually received this into your life? South County, are you there? Have you received that kind of love into your life? And in Lincoln, you're around that little computer. Everybody's huddled around that. Have you received that kind of love? And if you haven't, then your very first next step is this. Your very first next step is to receive that love. Maybe you would just acknowledge it first. And it says, I have never accepted the love that God demonstrated for me. I want to accept Him. I want to accept that love into my life. That's the starting place. And when that happens, then you have the ability to love others the way that Jesus has loved you. Everybody has a connection card, indicate it. If you're online, you know, on the app, you can click that connection card. Indicate this. If this is where you're at and you've never received the love of Jesus into your life and it hasn't brought that transformation from the inside out, then I'd encourage you to indicate that so that we can reach out to you. What's going to happen is when you do that, if you'll give us your information, we'll call you and we'll say, hey, we noticed on the connection card that you had questions around accepting God's love. We'd love to explain that to you. And so if it's easier for you to text, you can text that word trust to our texting number. And what happens there is when you text trust to 401-496-9710, when you do that, you're going to get an instant reply. And when you get that instant reply, just click on that. That's where you give us your name and the rest of your contact information so that we can reach out to you. We'd love to have that conversation with you. But every one of us who have already received that love, look what John does here. Look at this. In verse 11, he says, dear friends. He's like saying, dear Christ followers. He's like, kids. That's what he calls them in some translations. Dear children. Kids. He's like, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. He's like, come on, guys, right? Come on. Surely we need to practice the way of Jesus and love other people in spite of who they voted for. He said, that's hard. That's a little bit too close to home, Rick. Hey, I'm just telling you, surely you ought to love each other. In spite of what that person thinks about whatever next thing, you know, is going to be voted on. Surely, you ought to love each other. Surely, you ought to love this guy who's driving slow in the fast lane on I-90, coming back, and you're trying to hurry and get home. Surely, you need to love that guy. And your wife is right there saying, Rick, you need to love that guy. Oops, did I just tell on myself? I did, didn't I? That was me. Surely, you need to love them. You need to love that person who holds a totally different value system than you do. Surely, you ought to love them. See, that's called practicing the way. Are you practicing the way? Love is proclaimed, love is practiced, and love is actually proof. Love is actually proof. And here John tells us that love is actually proof that God exists. Now some of us doubt whether or not God is even real. And that's okay. I just hope that you in your faith journey will come to the conclusion, oh my gosh, He is real and I can see Him every day, just how John says. Look how John says. No one has ever seen God. I know that's disappointing. Some of you thought you had saw him when you dreamed, you know, one night. No, no one's ever seen God. But if we love each other, this is how God shows up. If we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought into full expression through us. You know how people are going to see God in your workplace? It's when they respond to you and they react to you and they are so disrespectful to you and they watch you. Respect them back. Love them because they're still a person. That you can respond back to them because they still are created in the image of God. This is how God makes himself known. It's through you. In the way that you love and treat other people. When people doubt, when you start doubting, here's the challenge for you. When you start doubting, is God really real? Would you on purpose be intentional about writing down the ways that you see love show up? Especially the kind of love that goes out of its way, especially the kind of love that loves in spite of. Because you just watched them. You just watched that guy just like rip that lady or rip that man. And then that person, the way they responded, you're like, oh my gosh, you should be taking note of that. Because that's the full expression of God loving them. That person that you approach, that you try and share with, and they just like, they're so disrespectful. They're trying to get their point across. And they're so like argumentative. And you're calm. You're okay. You're loving them right where they are. You don't have to have an answer for everything that they say. Write that down. That's proof. The other, just this past week, actually, I heard a pastor sharing about this couple that he knows personally. They were living in Dubai. If you know anything about Dubai, Dubai is a very like fancy place. You guys have some cash to live there. And this couple, a young couple with kids, living in this beautiful place. He runs into them, not in Dubai, he runs into them in Nairobi. Nairobi is in Kenya, and Nairobi, this is a city in Africa, and not in the suburbs. Of Nairobi, in the slums, living in a hut. And as this pastor was talking to them, why would you do this? Why would you leave that and come here with your kids? And if you know anything about Nairobi and in the slums, there is no running water, which means they don't have bathrooms. They do have public bathrooms, but there's one public bathroom for every 100 people. So a lot of the sewage is just in the pathways. I was going to say streets. They're not really streets. They're just paths. And you know, every year, they have a rainy season. And you know what happens? The ground floods. The water comes in. And it goes into their hut, if you will. Why would a couple choose to leave something like that and go and live in Nairobi because they are living out the full expression of God's love? You say, well, that's a little bit extreme, Rick. Okay. Yesterday, last night, sitting on the couch, Zoe gets a text from one of her friends. And this person, I don't have permission to share this story, so I can't tell you everything. Because I just thought of it. But this person is telling them, hey, my friend who is going to another church in another state is really having this really hard time. And they're really struggling with the way the church is handling this situation. And this lady said, I'm so thankful for the way that her Hope Church surrounded us in the same situation and just loved us. Because you guys loved, you don't even know who this lady is, but you guys loved her. because you guys loved her, you were bringing into the full expression of God's love into her life, and she could see it, and it made a difference. See, that's proof. This is proof that God exists, because God is love, and the very existence of God, the very nature of God, allows us to be able to love, and we can even love in spite of, when you receive the Spirit, because that's what he says next. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him, and he in us. So this is how you can love those really hard people in spite of. And we all have those really hard people in spite of type of people that we have to love. I've got them in my... In fact, I've got a list. No, I don't. But I have them in my life. So do you. And because the Spirit lives in us, you can do it. And so can I. And we know this much. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in His love. Again, he says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, and our love grows more perfect, or it matures, here's the point, that the way that you love people this week should be different than the way that you loved them last week. And the way that you love people next month should look differently than the way that you loved them last month. And the way that you love people last year should look differently than the way that you love them this year. Why? Because it should grow. It should grow in your life. And this is proof that God lives inside of you. And he says, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. The question for us to wrestle with is, are we living like Jesus here in this world? Because John's, that's the challenge. Are you living like Jesus here in this world? And when that happens, such love has no fear. That kind of love, the kind of love that God gives in us, expels, it pushes it away. That kind of love conquers the difference. And what has happened in Buffalo, this racism that has showed up again, is evil, period. The way that that white guy went in and to that grocery store and shot, purposely targeting black people, that's racism and that's evil. The totally opposite of the way that God... We don't have to fear. The way it showed up in the church, and again, racism showing up in the church and them coming in and shooting people in that church. Racism. The totally the opposite of the way that God calls us to love others. And this has no place in the Christ follower's life. So, church, we love each other. No matter the color of their skin, no matter their bias, no matter who they voted for, no matter what bill they are for, we love other people who think differently than we think. We love them because He first loved us. And John says that if you say, oh, I love God, but you hate a fellow believer, he said, you're a liar. He said, you're lying. And you're not practicing the way of Jesus. He calls us to live a different kind of way. So again, demonstration, not just proclamation. Actually demonstrating it. Not just saying it. That's proof of living a You Matter lifestyle. And I hope, it's my prayer that we all can get better at it, because we all have room to get better at it. Our next steps. There's some other next steps on your connection card. And it says this: I will ask God to show me how Jesus is at work around me this week, and I will write them down. I will write down what I see. And then I'm asking you, will you email them to me? I would love to hear. And, you know, don't send me 10 pages, but just send me bullet points. Oh, my gosh, I saw God at work in my school. I saw God at work when I was on the college campus and I was taking my last exam or whatever you were doing. I saw God at work when somebody approached me. Yeah, somebody approached me Jersey Mike's. I was at Jersey Mike's, and somebody ahead of me, who I did know him, and he used to play basketball with my kids, and we were having this exchange, and when we got up, I went to go pay, and the dude's like, the cashier person says it's like $4.32. I said, no, I got two, so if my wife is with me, you know, I'm paying for my wife's too, I'm not just paying for mine. And he's like, oh, no, that other guy paid for you. I'm like, oh, what? I'm supposed to be doing that. That's what inside I'm thinking. I'm supposed to be doing that. What's he doing that to me? You know? Write those things down. That's proof. That's God is showing up and he's at work. I'd love to hear from you. The last next step on there says, I want to fully express the love of Jesus here on earth. Do you want to do that? Come on. There's hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands of people in our state who need to see the full expression of the love of God demonstrated to them. And you and I, we could be a part of it. In Lincoln, we could be a part of that. And in South County, you were a part of that a couple of weekends ago. I guess it was just a week ago, Saturday, when we showed up down there and served people we didn't even know. Can't wait to share those stories with you on Sunday, June 5th. Don't forget. I want to fully express the love of Jesus here on earth. Pray for me to proclaim and demonstrate the love of Jesus to at least three people. Hey, Isaac is crushing it. He's 7, 8 years old. What about you? Last week was 10. I'm saying, hey, can you just do 3? Come on, we can do this. Grab a You Matter card on your way out there at the Welcome Center and let's demonstrate the love of Jesus. If it's easier for you to text, again, text that keyword PRAY to our texting number and let's demonstrate this week the love of Jesus to others. Let's stand. We're going to respond with this song. This song is about good grace because he's a good God and he gives us the grace that we need to be able to live a life of